Good morning. Welcome to First Baptist Church. It is good to come together to worship. And we also invite you to come downstairs for fellowship and snacks after worship, out that door and down the stairs. My name is Mary Davis. Our pastors, Paul and Stacy, are on vacation this week. They'll be in the office this coming week. I see that a fair number of you have on your name tags, and that's a good thing. I hope to see more name tags next week. Whether one is slow to remember a new name, or perhaps a little forgetful of the people we've known forever, it is indeed helpful for we who are visual learners to see those names. If you don't yet have one, or maybe you've lost yours, check the box on the connection card, which comes in your bulletin, and a new one will magically appear in the box, in the case by the Washington Street door. We do hope that everyone will fill out the connection cards found in your bulletin. In addition to the connection information on the front, there's some next steps for you to consider on the back. I'm pleased to welcome Reverend Ron Tipton back to the pulpit this morning. As you'll see in the bulletin, Ron has served First Baptist both as interim pastor and as campus minister. And we are glad that he and Donna have chosen to drive in from Adrian to be part of our congregation on almost every Sunday. Now, let us be present here, centered, stilled. Let us join together in worship of the living God.
Thank you. Please stand. Let us pray. We know God's Spirit is all around us, but our day-to-day activities and seeing the injustices that are all around us distract us from His message of hope and direction of how to live this life. So open our minds to understand Your Word. Open our hearts to receive Your love. Make our lives filled with Your peace and understanding. Amen. Mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit.
The scripture reading from the epistle is from Galatians, the fifth chapter, and I'll actually read a couple of more verses beyond verse 22. You're familiar with this section where Paul tells us what is the consequence, the result of the Spirit of God being with us. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Me in prayer. Loving and gracious God, Holy Spirit, truth divine, thank you for bringing us together today. While we are always in your presence, We often feel it more deeply when we are together. We thank you for the people in this congregation and elsewhere who have shown us your ways and taught us what it means to be your people. We confess that we do not always seek your ways or look for your vision, and it is sometimes so difficult to follow your path. Help us to do it more and more so that we shine with your spirit. We know that many people among us and in the wider community are suffering from illness, loss, and grief, from war and natural disaster. Give us the strength, will, and courage to alleviate their suffering where we can. In particular, we pray for those whose names we know. For Omar Robbins, Bill McKeachy, Jim Suits, Stacy Simpson Duke, Juanita Dieterle, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, Peter Mortensen, Saw Nae Lin, Liz and Michael Dalton, Robert L., Aaron and Jeff, Charlie, Katie, and Kay, Amy, Doris George, Jim Terrace, Colin Campbell and his family. We also pray for the elections this coming week that we may choose wisely for those who are to govern us. And now we pray in silence for the deep concerns of our hearts. Help us always to see others as you see us, as your beloved children, and help us to walk in the ways of Jesus the Christ, who left us these words to help us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
The gospel reading for this morning is from the fourth chapter of John, and it includes a rather long story of Jesus meeting with a woman at the well in Samaria. The reading begins when the woman asked Jesus a question. Will you now stand for the reading of the gospel? Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me. The hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such the Father seeks to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." This is the word of the Lord. Now we invite the children to come and join Sue Ellen at the front.
Thank you. lessons and emotions. Didn't remember them all. Miss Zan is on vacation with her family, so she asked me to come up here and talk with you.
Is that okay?
Okay. I've got a basket here. Apple? Lemon? Yeah. It's like a peach, but not fuzzy, so it's a nectarine. Yes, yes. These, yeah, do you like nectarines? These are all, what kind of food? What do we call these? Not vegetables, but?
Fruits.
They are fruits. And these fruits grow on trees. You know that. Pastor Tipton read a scripture from the Bible that talked about a different kind of fruit called the fruit of the Spirit. Now, first of all, whose spirit are we talking about? God's, yes, God's spirit. The Apostle Paul liked to use the symbol of fruit to talk about the good things that can grow in us. God's spirit is in each one of us. God's spirit is there to help us know how to love others and how to behave. When we love God and want to follow Jesus, there are things that we need to do. And God's Spirit is in us, each one of us, to help us do that. Now, this is a different kind of fruit that this Bible was talking about. Okay. Here are the behaviors or the fruits. What's this one? Love. Joy. Peace. Patience. Kindness. Remember that one? That's a long one. Generosity. Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, I know that all of you know about these behaviors, and I bet you also know that some of them are easier than others. Some we have to practice more. Now, I know it's all easy for you to be joyful, but sometimes something like patience, yeah, can be harder to work on, right? Yeah. Oh, I know. How many of you think that you're very kind? Yeah. But here's another one that can be hard to work on. Generosity. That means giving away things, even things that are important to you. Generosity can sometimes be hard. Good. I'm glad. We can be God's special people. We can grow these things with God's Spirit's help. Grow them like apples grow on a tree. We can grow them in ourselves. We can all be more patient, more kind, more generous, and have more self-control. And God's Spirit is there to help us. This is our prayer. And thank you, God, for giving us your Spirit to help us be the person that you want us to be. Amen.
Amen.
I want you to believe me that I'm very much aware of the heat in here. And if I go too long, I will hear about it at home. So in order to help us with that, I'm going to leave the sermon on the manuscript, just talk with you, and we can all hope I'll forget some of it. And at my age, that's more than likely. I want to begin with one of the strange things in the English language. We have a few words that begin very oddly with the letters P-N. Well, you remember pneumonia. There's also pneumatic tools and pneumatic tires on our car. These very few words come from the Greek word pneuma, P-N-E-U-M-A. And I've got to get that right because I counted at least five clergy here today, and they'll correct me if I get it wrong. Pneuma is a Greek word that at its root simply means breath or wind or even air. Now, I must not cough. Pneuma is translated as spirit throughout the whole Bible. And I'd like to convince you, first of all, that it's a very important word in the Bible. It's not one that we can neglect or forget about. Pneuma first appears in the Greek Bible in the first chapter of Genesis, just as the creation is getting underway. The Spirit of God moved over the waters. Now the word is in Hebrew, ruach. It means spirit. It means at its root, breath. And Pastor Paul assures me there should be a guttural sound in ruach, but I'm very English and I don't do guttural. Ruach begins in Genesis. Throughout the Hebrew scriptures, we read that the Spirit of God is on the leaders of the people. The Spirit of God is in the prophets, and the Spirit of God is the power by which the prophets speak the word of the Lord. Pneuma continues in the New Testament in all of the Gospels. We have the Spirit of God at the birth of Jesus, at the baptism of Jesus. In John's Gospel, Jesus tells his disciples that the Spirit of God will come upon them. And we know that in the book of Acts, on the day of Pentecost, they're all gathered together in one place, and they hear the rush of a mighty wind, and the Spirit of God comes upon all of them. And then in Paul's letters and the other epistles in the New Testament, the Spirit of God has a central place. So this is a word we must pay attention to, an important one at the very center of our faith. But there's something very strange going on. This word pneuma is used in the Bible not just of the Spirit of God, but also the spirit of people. Yes, we read of Daniel that at some point he had an anxious spirit. We read of Paul that his spirit was provoked. And Jesus talks about people who are the poor in spirit. So we have all these and many other examples. Pneuma being used of God's spirit and also of human spirits. So there must be a connection there. So let's look for it. Let's start with people. Do we have spirits? You know, doctors can slice and dice a human body and brain. They won't find a spirit anywhere. We won't find a spirit physically inside us. So, pneuma, in terms of human spirit, is talking about something intangible but very real and true. For example, do you know someone who is a joyful spirit? They're always smiling and happy, at least most of the time. They're a joyful spirit. We've got some of those in our church. How about a generous spirit? Oh, we've got quite a few of those generous spirits in the church. And cooperative spirits. The church couldn't exist without these cooperative spirits who are always working with everything to make everything go smoothly and work out okay. And how about creative spirits? We've got a lot of those right here in our church. And then there are loving spirits, playful spirits. There are even some spirits we won't even talk about today, like grumpy spirits, mean spirits, pessimistic spirits. We don't have any of those here, so we don't even need to talk about them. Are these spirits real? We know that that's a truthful description of human beings when we talk about our spirits. Even though they are not objective, they are nonetheless true characterizations of us. Now, what about God? If we go to the text where we read of this woman at the well in Samaria, that Jesus has a conversation with her, and she wants to know about the right place to worship, whether in Samaria or Jerusalem. Essentially, the answer of Jesus is, God is spirit. And there are a couple of interesting things about that text. Simple words, God is spirit. First thing to note, there's no article, no A, before pneuma. So it's not saying God is a spirit. It's simply saying God is spirit. And without the article, it's a way of emphasizing spirit. Secondly, the little phrase begins with the word pneuma. And that's also a way of emphasizing the word. In other words, it's written the way Yoda might say it. Spirit is God. God is spirit, is the answer to the woman's question about the right place to worship. So obviously, Jesus is saying, God is everywhere. God is spirit. God doesn't have a privileged place where we ought to worship him. But there's something more involved here. And doing as preachers always do, when we're not sure we've got it right, we go to some authority. So for me, the authority on the Gospel of John is a biblical scholar now dead for about 20 years, Raymond Brown. So I went to Raymond Brown and checked, and this is what he said. That God is spirit, as Jesus says it here, is a reference to the way God relates to people. Not trying to make a big statement about the total reality of God, but God as spirit is the way God relates to people. Now there's a deep mystery here, and let's try to hit it quickly. The deep mystery is God is the creator and sustainer of the universe. As such, God is finite while we are infinite. God is unlike us. God may be compared to a painter painting a picture. The painter is outside of the picture. The painter is not in the picture. So God, as creator and sustainer, is far removed from us. But the deep mystery is that as spirit, God is able to be near to us, around us, and within us. So what new world can God be up to? What does God want to do with us? Why would he even I said he, don't shoot. Some of you caught it. What would God want to do with us? Well, the answer is, God wants to do something with our spirit. Remember, Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born anew. You hear the wind, but you don't know whence it comes or whither it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. So Jesus is indicating that God wants us to be born of the Spirit, wants us to have something totally new in our lives, having the Spirit of God more or less in charge of our spirits. And what does that look like? Well, we read, and Sue Ellen repeated, the words from Galatians. The consequence, the result of God's Spirit being in our spirit, the result is the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, after you get all those nailed down, I am sure God has even more involved with what God wants to do with our spirits. There's one other thing. We are probably most inclined to think of this as an individual, personal thing, that God wants to work on our individual spirits, and that's true. But we also need to hear it in terms of the church, in terms of the community of faith. In Acts, when it says the first church was gathered, and they heard the sound of a rush of a mighty wind, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. You can read that two ways. The all being filled can mean every single one of them, individually, personally, or it can also mean the Spirit came upon all of them as they were gathered. So we must think also about the Spirit of God developing, working on the Spirit of the church. So I want you to think about not just your personal life, but think about the spirit of this church. Think of examples as you look around. What do you see? Well, I think that probably most, if not all of you, appreciate the joy and the love in the music of our church. This is a sign of the Spirit of God. When the music moves us, speaks to us, fills us with joy and love. How about the faithfulness of our pastors? Their faithfulness week after week, day after day, the faithfulness of our church leaders. And Zan, I wish she were here. I would ask you, what would you say about her spirit? I can't think of a name to call it. But we delight in her spirit and in her ministry with children and her ministry with all of us. We have generous spirits in the church. We have kind spirits. When we think about all the ways that this church serves people right here in this community, our church members, the people in Nicaragua and all over the world, the kindness and goodness of the people in the church is a sign of the Spirit of God being here. Now I must deviate even from the manuscript. I see Janice back here. And it reminds me, Janice, of a playful spirit. I remember the 4th of July Sunday. In the ancient history of the church, so long ago we can't remember it. And Janice played Charles Ives' Variations on America, a playful spirit, and we all smiled and even laughed a little bit. A playful spirit is also a part of this church. So when we look around at our church, we see the signs of the Spirit of God here. One more thing in this church. Right now, the church just went through this long process of deciding to be a welcoming and affirming church. In that process, everyone was listened to. Everyone was respected. No one was put down for what they said or what they felt. That was a very patient process, a sign of the Spirit of God in the church. Now I want to close. I think I have time for one more story, if my voice will last. One more story from the ancient history of this church that speaks of a sign of the Spirit of God in the church. In the 60s, that's 1960s, I was the campus minister here in the building just next door. And it was the time of the Vietnam War. And it was a very divisive time, a very difficult time for everyone. And as campus minister, what I came in contact with was students who wanted, first of all, just to talk about this war, but more than that even, they were coming to talk about problems they were having with their draft boards. The Selective Service System was a vast system governed by laws made in Washington, but the local draft boards were just local people trying to do their best and frequently ignoring that a student deferment is an entitlement and it can't be taken away because you dislike the person. So some friends and I opened the Ann Arbor Draft Counseling Center next door. It became controversial. It was confused with draft resistance. But lots of students and their girlfriends came, and it took us through that crisis. But the church might have been expected to kick me out, to close down the Draft Counseling Center. But I kept in conversation with the people of the church. I met every Thursday for lunch with a group of men from the church to talk. And mostly we talked about the war and the Draft Counseling Center. Today, there is one man besides myself who was part of that weekly group, Richard Bates. and Richard is still here. The church stayed in the conversation. Many of them did not like opposition to the war in Vietnam, and they didn't like the draft counseling center being in the church. But they hung in there. They were persistent, did not give in to the conflict. And in all of that, they were expressing the Spirit of God that has just been in this church forever. We could even go back farther, but there are too many stories. Let's leave it here. God's Spirit wants to work with and develop our spirits, giving us the fruit of the Spirit. And God wants that for us individually and for this church. And that's enough. Amen.
Our giving may at first be just a habit, but soon it becomes a joy. Let us now joyfully receive our offering. With gratitude to you, O God, we bring these gifts with a prayer to bless every gift and every giver. Make us ever faithful to our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Great gift of God. May the peace of Christ be with you. Special announcement from Christina.
Hello. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Christina Alanese, and I grew up in this church. One very important thing that this church family has taught me is that it is our responsibility to help others, and that's why I'm talking to you today about our fellowship offering. 2 weeks ago, I went to a music festival, and as my friend and I were driving home, we passed some teenagers who were waving us down. At first, I thought they were just joking around, but as we rolled down the window, they were yelling for help and said that their friends had been walking and were hit by a car. We pulled over, and I ran over to the boy laying on the ground and tried to help him as much as I could until the ambulances arrived. The girl next to him, Michaela, unfortunately passed away. She had just turned 19 that day. Colin, the 21-year-old boy who was hit, was helicoptered to U of M Hospital in critical condition, where he was admitted to the intensive care unit. He has been recovering from the severe head trauma there. I've met his family and visited him a couple times since, and they are such strong and loving people. I feel that God has put this family in my life on purpose, and that I was meant to meet Colin in this way. We would not have been driving on that road had we not had to drop our friend off at his campsite or turn the wrong way. And although I had to witness something traumatic, I believe there is a reason that I was there. Today's fellowship offering is going to support this family that I feel I am called to help. This will help to pay for their hospital bills, the various therapies that he'll need to recover, and the expenses from being in Ann Arbor while he's in the hospital. There are offering plates by both exits, so if you are able, please help me by giving today. Thank you.
And now may the peace and the power of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with each of us today and forevermore. Amen.